and welcome to the Impact Exchange, where we explore the intersection of corporate social responsibility and retail with the change makers behind the impact. We are recording live from Shop Talk in Las Vegas 2023, and today I am joined by Daniel Stapel, President and CEO of Jeweler. Hi, Daniel. How are you?
Good. Nice to be here and excited to have this chat.
So how's the conference going for you so far?
Oh, it's great. It's really exciting. I missed last year, and it's just great to feel the energy that is here and a lot of new but old technologies being talked about, like AI and what it can really do for us. Really excited to be here and learn.
That's great. Can you give me a highlight from the conference so far?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of buzz about ChatGPT and what it can do. And I think that we're finally being able to use it as an industry and not just have it within deep tech and some of the platforms that we all use. But now it's actually being a bit more hands-on and really being able to use it in a more friendly and fun way.
Yes, AI, ChatGPT, it's all really exciting. And there are other exciting trends happening at this conference as well. And today we're here to talk about social impact. So to get started, I'd love to learn about the origin story of Jeweler, especially how it pertains to social impact and why it's so central to your mission and vision.
Sure, yeah. Jeweler was founded in a VC incubator in 2009. And from then on, it was basically bootstrapped for an existence. And throughout that, we were always very connected to causes. We did various causes like Because I'm a Girl, which is an initiative all about women's rights, and especially in developing countries. We've been boots on the ground with initiatives in northern India, where we were making Mali necklaces that were made actually by women in those regions and donated all the profits back to them. We've worked with breast cancer awareness. During COVID, we focused on frontline workers in the healthcare system. So we've always been really in touch with what we felt was really a boots on the ground approach and using what we're good at, which is actually jewelry design. We design and manufacture personalized jewelry. Jeweler is our main brand, but we have two other brands as well, Lee Fiori and One and Only. And we're capable of designing and producing items that are specific to a cause. So most recently, with the war in Ukraine, we decided to design 10 unique products that all have Ukrainian symbols and launch a small collection. And our customers are able to personalize those items, and we manufacture them and ship them out in a matter of days. And that's what we do. And with those items, we initially did 100% of proceeds be donated to the Ukraine Humanitarian Relief Fund, which is a Red Cross benefit. And so we take the power of design, local manufacturing. We manufacture everything in our offices at our headquarters in Toronto. And so we take design, manufacturing, and a good cause and wrap it all together on our e-com stores.
And that ability to integrate social impact into the actual product is actually really unique, and it's not something that a lot of retailers get to do. Can you talk to me a little bit about how and why it's important to reflect social impact in the actual product and jeweler, and what impact that's had on your customer engagement, if any?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we're lucky, right? We do design, we do manufacture. It's something that we're able to do really quickly as well. And most retailers are at the mercy of inventory on ships coming across the world, where we're not. Literally weeks after the war broke out and the world started coming together, we were able to design and launch this on our site pretty seamlessly. And it's important because customers are able to quickly realize that we're not a typical retailer. We're actually a bit more exciting. And when we send out an email blast to our customer base saying, hey, we've just launched this Ukraine-inspired jewelry, it definitely resonates. We had a lot of great feedback from customers buying the jewelry, but also emailing in and telling us how great of a cause they thought it was. And for us, it's really who we are. It's part of our DNA is to be dynamic, to be responsive, to be quick to market with design and trends. And that includes trends that maybe we wouldn't like to have out there, but being able to respond and put out a good cause is definitely feels good, and our customers know that.
Direct response fundraising in particular is a social impact effort that not a lot of companies have mastered because of the complexity of aligning product with a vision and a nonprofit partnership. How have you been able to identify nonprofit beneficiaries and get an initiative like this off the ground very quickly so that you can respond to these events, social, political, economic sustainability events?
Yeah, it's actually a challenge, to be honest, because we're a relatively small team and we don't have a whole division of people working on this stuff day in and day out. For us, it's making sure credibility is number one. So we need to find a credible partner, essentially, in this. And we want to make sure that we convey that to our customers. We're not a global recognized brand yet. For us, that's really important to make sure that we communicate. But yeah, there's definitely a bit of a gap, I think, for small, medium businesses to partner with charitable projects. And I think that's a great thing that you guys bring to the table.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, excited to explore that more.
So you've mentioned a couple areas, cause areas that you've supported. What are some specific nonprofits you've given to? And have those relationships been closer or more passive? Like you've raised funds for them and just donated?
Yeah, sometimes a bit of a mix of passive and collaborative. Like I mentioned, during the core kind of pandemic, we actually retrofitted some of our tooling to make face shields when that was like a big need.
Wow.
in the hospital system. So instead of, cutting metal sheet for jewelry, we were cutting plastic to make face shields. And we were working with big hospitals in Toronto and then a national foundation called the Frontline Fund. And that was a more formal partnership. And you really understood what they needed from us. And when it transferred over from face shields to monetary needs, we aligned and we were able to actually partner with a big bank. We partnered with Royal Bank of Canada, so one of our big banks in the country. And we partnered with them to not only just donate, but also promote it and promote the cause. In that scenario, it was a bit more collaborative. Other scenarios where it's a bit more passive is another big bank actually has something called CIBC Run for the Cure, and that's all about breast cancer. So that was a bit more passive, as well as small things all the time, whether it's a local hockey team or small little initiatives where employees or partners are doing runs and having fundraising pages. That's something that we like to get involved in as well.
Awesome. You mentioned something in a previous answer about authenticity in social impact. And I think, again, that's something that companies struggle with, is how to message their social impact initiatives accurately in a responsible way so they're not greenwashing. I know you have some social impact messaging on your website. How can you make sure that your message to customers is authentic and trustworthy?
Yeah, that's a challenge. We're building custom landing pages and getting the right copy and creative from the charity, if that's available, making sure that it passes their kind of compliance checks and all that stuff to make sure we are messaging the right story. But yeah, it's part of the biggest part of the challenge is actually conveying it in the right place at the right kind of point in the customer's journey on our website. And we have a lot more to explore in cart and checkout, which we haven't really ever done, where most of the initiatives we do, we like to focus on products. So again, even for the breast cancer benefit we did, we designed custom ribbons as charms and put pink stones in them and stuff like that. But we have more to explore in other areas of the user journey. And yeah, messaging that legitimacy is definitely a big part of it.
On that topic of looking ahead and exploring what the future of social impact looks like, what are some trends that you've noticed in the retail space from a place where social impact was a nice to have, the philanthropy arm held at arm's length, all the way to what your company is doing today, where it's so deeply embedded in your product and mission and messaging? What's the future look like for you?
Yeah, I've noticed some more inline asks from the end consumer So, for example, something that I think we were all used to is when you're at the grocery store and they ask you for a dollar for their cause that they're pushing, that's essentially the checkout or cart, right, on an e-com store. And I've seen more and more of that where it's just add a dollar with a simple checkbox, or you can choose how much to donate. And I think that there is a shift in the businesses that are doing it, and I think people are less afraid to actually do that and not worry about conversion, right? Anytime you put anything on your cart page, your checkout page, there's always a fear about conversion loss.
Right.
And so if we're always afraid about that and we don't ask for that dollar, we don't raise that money. And so I think there's a bit more confidence in brands and retailers asking for that dollar, asking for that donation from the end consumer as well, and being a bit less worried about potential conversion loss. If anything, it's showing that the business is socially responsible and trying to do something good. And it's really an opt-in if you want to participate for the end consumer. So I like that trend. I think it's something that we're going to follow suit with and be a bit more confident about our checkout experience and asking people if they'd like to participate.
And for brands that are just dipping their toes in the social impact waters, what would some advice be for them? Having experienced what you've experienced and the challenges you faced, what would you say to any retailers wanting to forge that path for the first time?
I would recommend finding a cause that resonates with the business. And the business includes the employees, includes the brand, the external facing brand. Because I think if something fits in well, it's just easier to execute. And there's more organizational buy-in. There's more customer buy-in when they see that it's something that fits. So for us, we're able to design jewelry that supports it. So maybe we can argue that we can make anything fit if we can design jewelry around it. But think internally as well, like doing one of these projects, especially when they come in maybe ad hoc or on top of everyone's original workload, there has to be buy-in from the team as well. And it also, internally, we feel great about this, and it's not just management. It's the whole company that gets to be proud about what we're doing and how everyone's efforts, the jewelry designers, production, merchandising, everyone who's putting things together, we all feel good about it.
Yeah, that positive impact definitely touches all aspects of the business, internal and external stakeholders for you. And on that note, on a personal level, what causes are you passionate about, and how does, you know, integrating social impact really resonate with you and add to your value and satisfaction in your job?
I'm passionate about all good causes. Very politically correct answer, I think. I think some of the areas that resonate with me are mental health. There's been certain things that I've gone through, people have gone through in my life that touches to me, as well as I think when we feel that there's, especially with the Ukraine, that one is a bit more, less about what we are touched by and more what we think is right. Some businesses weren't taking stances on the Ukraine issue, and we decided to. And I think the businesses that did were really proud to do it and did it really well. But there was a lot of businesses that were quite silent. That, when we think about the different problems that the war has brought on, that definitely touches home. We have a very diverse employee base. We have a number of employees that come from war-torn countries, Syria being one of them from about 5-7 years ago. And so that definitely hits home, and we understand how terrible it is and what that can do to people's lives. And it's about finding what resonates and what you're proud to do something about.
Ultimately, it seems that taking that stance, making that decision to fundraise has had an ultimately positive effect on your internal team and your customers and creating more lifetime value. So where can our listeners learn more about Jeweler?
Yeah, you can learn about what we're doing from a social impact point of view by just going to our website, jeweler.com, jewlr.com. And you can read more about what we're doing there and see the great jewelry that you can personalize and add your special meaning to. You know, a lot of our jewelry that is just open to being personalized, you can actually make it meaningful for almost any cause. So it's whether it's a small family thing that and we see it. We do have people putting on hashtags and engraving on certain jewelry. And we actually have people using our jewelry as their special memento for different causes. Everything from happy to sad. You can see everything on our website. And yeah, feel free to reach out if you ever have any questions.
Awesome. Thank you so much for a great conversation, Daniel. I hope you enjoy the rest of your time at Shop Talk.
Thanks, you too.
And thank you for joining us on this episode of The Impact Exchange. I'm Molly Tarantola. Thanks for joining us.